Welcome back in 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by Chris Lowe from ESPN. Chris, good to have you with us, brother.
Mickey, what's going on, man?
We were, right as the commercial break started, we were looking at this stuff. Dabo Swinney kind of making a little headlines with a quote about if college players are going to become professionals, I might as well go coach professional football. And several people have commented on that, and each time quoting his salary of $93 million in his current contract. And old Dabo hits a lot of the right notes, but this seems to have hit a sour one with some people.
Yeah, and then he said that back, what, a month or so ago, right? That, you know, the whole before his contract was announced. But no, I mean, it's, listen, coaches all make an obscene amount of money. And what that tells you, number one, is the amount of money that's been generated in college football and college basketball. And the market bears that guys like Saban and Sweeney and Urban Meyer when he was coaching and Jimbo Fisher make tons of money. Because, again, football, big-time football is generating money. And not just for the athletic department, but go back and look at places like Alabama and Clemson, how much the applications for out-of-state applicants are up. You know, that's what generates most of the money for these universities. But all that said, obviously the system's been broken for a long time. It's archaic. There's got to be a way. You've already seen the working group formulated with NCAA to try to figure out a way to some of these players to get some money with their likeness and image. I mean, I think that's been a long time coming. And I know some people say, well, that's just the first step to paying players. I don't know if it is or not. But when the players are the ones that people and fans come to see, I mean, and the money, millions upon millions of dollars that are being generated, yeah, I mean, there's got to be a better way to do it. But I don't think you're going to see coaching salaries, as long as you get the right guy in there. And we've seen that, whether it's Saban or Sweeney, and can bring championships and continue to bring money to the university, they're going to be paid at market value.
Well, Dawn had brought this up and sent this to the two of us the other day. I had yet to see it when she sent it to us, NCAA working group to examine how name, image, and likeness, the usage of that for profit, you know, might change. And I'm honest, Chris, we've had a lot of discussions about this, but I will be honest to see, and it basically the article outlined and said, not pay per play, but you making money, you know, not you getting a $15,000 check for playing for Auburn.
Nothing coming from the school.
From the school. But, if, you know, right. What we took it as, if Joe's Chevrolet warehouse wanted you to be on the billboard, then you negotiate a rate, you could do it.
And there's a lot of questions still. I mean, I get it. You know, if you know, you talk about video games, juries. I mean, if you're Tua Tagovailoa or any of the big-time players, and you go into a stadium and you see everybody wearing your jersey, you know, and obviously there's a lot of apparel outlets, university, a lot of people are benefiting from that, and you're not getting a penny. Well, that's tough. Now, I understand they can't sell jerseys with their name on the back, but still, it's his jersey, his number. Now, I mean, some of the questions are, let's say that they rule that they can benefit from that. Are they going to be taxed? Are you going to be taxed? If you're taxed, you know, do you become employees? And if you're employees, can you cut guys from their scholarship? There's just a lot of questions that are going to have to be answered. And I'm not smart enough to tell you how you answer them. But I do think we're going to see over the next year or two a lot of changes in college sports. And I think the biggest change is going to be somebody finally figuring out how these kids can be compensated in some degree, especially when it comes to their likeness and image.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you type in buy Tennessee Garantano jersey, all these chances for you to buy Garantano jersey, it's the Tennessee number two jersey, and you can buy it from $39.99 here, $38.53 here. And so I get the likeness part of that. Like, you're capitalizing off my name. So something will be done about that, I would think.
Right. And again, put yourself, like, you know, you bring up Garantano as an example, Brent. Put yourself in his shoes. You walk into Neyland Stadium on Saturday, and you see all these people wearing that jersey, And what would you say it goes for retail for, like $40?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
$50? I mean, how much of that's going into Jarrett's pocket? Zero. And they're wearing it because of him. You know, it's the same as the Tua Tagovailoa example I gave. So,
right, and the school is making something because of the licensing, right? Like, you have to have the licensing deal to even make that.
Yeah, so it's been broken. The system's been broken for a while, and it's time. It's past time to sort of fix it. And again, I'm not pushing that you start paying players salaries. I don't know that we're, you know, that's the answer. But there's got to be a way, if schools, apparel companies, and people are benefiting off these kids' likeness and image, that they get a piece of the pie at some point.
Well, the other thing that continues to come up, and you mentioned it briefly, was the NCAA football game from EA Sports. And yeah. I was telling these guys, I contacted a couple of guys that played at A-State while I was working there, and they said, you know, retroactively, they got a check for, you know, a few $1,000. So obviously everybody can't make a few thousand a year on it, but that seems to me one of the simplest ways that you could immediately create some kind of revenue stream likeness-wise is, you know, to pay some kind of royalty to, if you're number 12 for, you know, Montana, and there's a number 12 on that game, then you get one whatevereth of that amount of money every time the game sells.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, why this working group's been established, to try to figure all that out. You know, how to do it, you know, what's the best way to do it, you know, what makes sense, what doesn't. And again, I think you get into the whole tax question, and are you employees of the university? I love the educational value of college athletics, because, I mean, athletics, period. I mean, any of us who played sports, been around our whole life, I mean, I never made a dime and never played college sports, but I look back at a lot of the life lessons I learned, and I think that's a big thing, big part of college sports. But we've long since passed college football and college basketball being an extracurricular activity.
Yeah.
We passed that 40 years ago, you know, when you look at the money. And these kids are more empowered, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but they're more empowered than they've ever been. They realize that they're the ones to hold the power. And I think we're probably, it's coming to a head if something is not done. And I think, again, that's why you see this working group established, to try to figure a way to slice up some of this pie and dole it out to some kids.
Another, we mentioned changes in college football. Obviously, playoff expansion is a huge topic. And Michigan State Athletic Director Bill Beekman told Detroit Free Press at the athletic directors meetings that this is probably going to happen, that it's inevitable, and that it's probably a good thing. When we look at timing for this, I know we've talked about, you know, is it going to happen? Most likely, yes. But from a timing perspective, where are we on playoff expansion with current contracts, current TV deals, current how everything works?
Well, I mean, everybody will tell you, Dawn, just like they told you before the playoff, that the playoff wasn't on the horizon. Remember that? No, there's no playoff on the horizon. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? We have a playoff now. And you're going to hear that, well, no, there's no real push to expand. Well, listen, expansion means more money. And everybody says it's not about the money. It always gets back to the money. You know, the eight teams means, you know, a bigger piece of the pie for everybody. When you ask about timing, I don't think you're going to see it happen in the next year or two, but it's coming. It's just a matter of it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get around, and I don't know how the format's going to look, but you probably, with 18, you know, you do away with, well, this conference champion didn't get in, but this one did, because you have five power conference champions. And then you sort of go from there. Do you do at-large teams, one at-large team, two at-large teams? Do you reserve a spot for a group of five teams? I mean, there's a lot, you know, maybe it's one that has to qualify. They have so many wins, like a UCF a few years ago. But it's coming. I can't tell you when. I don't have that crystal ball. But we're going to see at some point 18 in the playoff. And you know what? I don't know that we, in my mind, have we seen enough of a body of work to truly assess whether four is good, not so good, or bad. I think maybe it's good that we're going to see a few more years of a 14 playoff to figure out what will work and what won't.
Chris, always appreciate the visits. Man. Have a great weekend, man.
Right back at you guys. Take care.
Right. At CeeLo ESPN on Twitter. When we come back, the Lingerie Football League sideline reporter, Heidi Golsnig, she kind of went after the coach of the Omaha Heart at halftime.
Yeah.
This is really funny. Stay tuned. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
I've told this story before. Our producer, JT, had started to endorse PAI, the We Grow Hair people. And I knew about him, and I heard JT talk about him. He was getting laser therapy. And they said, hey, we want somebody else from the station to endorse PAI. So I said, I'll go talk to him. I'll just talk to him. So I went down, and I talked to Michael Ramsey. He said, I'll kind of walk you through it like I would walk a man or a woman who came through, and they had questions about hair loss and, you know, what we could do for them. And I'll admit, you know, the old mullet from the 80s, it's faded a little bit. I'll admit that. So I started listening to him, and when it was over, I said, look, man, I'll talk about you. I'll do the darn laser therapy. And I started doing it, and love the results so far. I know JT loves his. My wife, after we had our second child, she knows her hair was thinning some. She went and talked to Michael, and she's doing it too. So I'll tell you this. If that's you, you're not happy with your hair, you notice it's going, and you got less, call PAI. Call them. Here's the number, 615-376-6010, 615-376-6010, or wegrowhair.com. I can promise you this, the only regret that you will have is that you didn't call PAI sooner. Again, wegrowhair.com.